thought. Well, it's good to be back for our Sunday evening schedules. I don't know about you, but not coming to church on Sunday evenings kind of makes me feel discombobulated. Kind of get into the habit. It's good to, I believe, not just in the Lord's morning, but the Lord's day, which includes a morning and evening. But I thought that it would be good to begin our new year and on our Sunday evenings together with just some practical encouragement for spiritual growth. And starting next week, Lord willing, we're going to start going through this book. Many of you purchased it probably a couple months ago. I don't remember when it was, to kind of give us a head start. But it's called Life in the Body of Christ. It's got, I don't know how many chapters in it, but all the chapters are very, very small, has some discussion questions in it. And so my intent is for it to be kind of an interactive discussion. And it has to do with the privileges and responsibilities within the life of the local church. And the first couple of chapters is, the first section is on personal responsibility, and it's about your own salvation and the salvation of your family. And so if you have it, you might read at least the first chapter, the first couple of chapters, contemplate some of those questions and those points. We're going to talk about those. And if you don't have a book and you want one, we still have a few left over here. But Lord willing, that's what we will begin next week, this little book, Life in the Body of Christ. But tonight, we're going to talk about how to read your Bible, or ways to read your Bible, and just some helps and some encouragement just for this basic part of Christian growth in reading our Bibles. A lot of times you start a new year and you kind of get a new motivation to read, or maybe have a reading plan. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Well, let's start with the word of prayer, and then we'll just jump on into this. Our Father, we thank you for bringing us back tonight, for the beautiful day that you've given us, for our so great a salvation that you that your Son earned for us. And Father, we thank you for speaking to us. You have not left us in silence. You have spoken. Your word is here. You've even inscripturated it. And the Lord cause us to cherish these wonderful words of life. And that, Lord, that we might learn your ways and learn your will, and so be more conformed to the lovely image of your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll think a little bit tonight about just some of the basics of Bible, reading. And when we think about how do we read our Bible, let me just start off for, as simple as it can get. When we read our Bible, we gotta read it left to right. Right. All right. Right. That didn't even work, right? You know. I mean, we read, you know, the left to right. Maybe I'll come back to that. But that works, reading it left to right, unless you're reading Hebrew. If you read Hebrew, then you read right to left. I don't read Hebrew, so I read left to right. I guess if a Chinese Bible, you might read up to down or whatever. But Bible reading is really just a basic for spiritual growth. It doesn't get any more basic than reading our Bibles. It is our spiritual nourishment, and it is how we grow. It is described, the Bible describes itself as being our spiritual milk and our spiritual meat. It is our food, and if you don't eat, you don't grow. And so it is imperative that we learn and read our Bibles. In fact, somebody look up 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. We'll read that, somebody. 1 Peter 2:2. Do a little sword drill to start off with. Unless you have a phone. Does that count if you have a sword drill on the phone? I don't know if you just typed in. But 1 Peter 2:2. Does somebody have that?
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby.
Desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. What about Job 23:12? Somebody go. Job 23:12. See, we got to practice flipping, man. Job 23:12. Someone got that one, and I'll look at this last one.
I have not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than daily food.
Okay. He says, I have not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than my daily food. Job saw the Bible as more important than his daily bread. It was his spiritual daily bread. In fact, there was a pastor used to have a program on the radio, and he kind of had a rule for life. And it was like this. He says, no Bible, no breakfast. And so that's what he did. He says, if I can't get up in the morning and read my Bible, then I'm going to skip breakfast, and my hunger pains will remind me. And so he just kind of said, no Bible, no breakfast was kind of his rule for life. Let me read this one. Jeremiah 15:16, what the prophet here says. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. So God's word is our milk. God's word is our meat. It is our spiritual nourishment, and we need regular meals if we're going to be nourished and if we're going to grow in our most holy faith. I know just in the physical realm, I don't like missing many meals. You know, it's a rarity when I miss a meal, because I really like to eat. So in our spiritual life, we ought to have a desire to feast on the Word of God and to have regular meals. In fact, Jesus says in John, let me read this in John 8, and just the importance of God's Word. John 8:31-32, Jesus was saying to those who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You know, in fact, it is a description of the people that are true disciples of Christ, or those that continue in his word. He says, if you're continuing my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's part of the Christian life to continue in his word, to continually feed up upon his word, because it is our nourishment. But it is also our enlightenment. I love the verse in Psalm 119:99. It says, your word has given me more insight than all of my teachers. There is the conventional wisdom of the world. There is the wise people of this world, the teachers and the scholars. But if you spend time feeding on the Word of God, it will give you an insight beyond the conventional wisdom of the age, because God's Word is mind expanding. It is nourishment and it is enlightenment. It is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, and it will give us an understanding into this life as well as the life that is to come. But as we read our Bibles and on a consistent basis, it's good to remember that the other part that's just kind of basic to spiritual growth is prayer. Bible reading should be coupled with prayer, because Bible reading is just one part of a conversation. And, you know, in any conversation, you know, there's a two-way street in who's talking. Bible reading is the first part of our conversation with our Creator, because as we're reading the Bible, as we're seeing what God says, we are listening to what He is saying to us. And so we spend some time in a conversation with our Creator, and we want to hear what He says to us. And so we open up His Word, and we hear what He says to us. But then after we hear what He says to us, then we continue the conversation, or the reciprocal part of the conversation, and in prayer, we talk back to Him. And then it goes back and forth as we read and understand and hear what He says to us, then we in turn talk to Him. And so prayer and Bible reading go hand in hand, because it is a conversation with our Creator. Now, sometimes in a conversation, you know, maybe, I mean, God needs to talk more than us, and so maybe we're going to read more, you know, more than we pray, and sometimes we got some things, you know, we want to say, but it's a conversation. It goes back and forth, and so we need to hear what He says, and then we will in turn talk to Him, because the Bible reading is, it's nourishment for our souls, it's enlightenment for our minds, but it is fellowship. And as creatures, we are made for fellowship. We're made for fellowship with each other. You know, we need to interact with each other. But we are also made for fellowship with our Creator. Adam and Eve, they were originally made, and they walked with their Creator in the garden in the cool of the day. There was this conversation, this fellowship. In fact, John, talks about our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, you know, the Lord Jesus. We have fellowship with God, and part of that fellowship comes around conversation. I mean, if you're going to interact with someone, you've got to converse with them. You're talking back and forth. You've got to have conversation. And Bible reading is an important part of conversation. We need to hear what He says to us, just as He ought to hear what we say to Him in our prayer life. And so, anyway, a couple of brief basic things on reading your Bible. Now, about reading your Bible. I'm going to say there is not one recommended way to read your Bible. There are so many different strategies, and I'm sure that you probably heard it if you've been in church for a long time. There are so many different ways to go about reading your Bible. And guess what? This is a pretty big book. Mine looks a little thicker because the pages are thick, so I don't tear them up. It's a preacher's Bible. There are different ways to tackle how do we go about reading our Bible. And I would just encourage you just to find one that works for you. I mean, you know, switch it up here and there. You don't have to do the same one all the time. Just kind of like I've said with regards to translations, you know, which translation is the best translation? Well, the best translation is the one you read. And so, you know, the best way to read the Bible, you know, is just to read it. You don't have to do it the way I do it, or anybody does it or recommends it. You can try a different way here or there, but just read it. You know, whatever strategy or that you use, just do it. Read it, and it will work. Because the Bible, as you read it, you will find that it begins to read you. Because when you read the Bible, the more you read the Bible, the more it reads you, and the more it will change you. Because as Hebrews 4:12 says, that the Word of God is living and active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides a soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And it, I mean, the Bible reads us. It gets in us and it examines us. And in the conversation, as we hear God speaking to us through His Word, He's going to say some things to us in His Word that will read us and that will change us. So we got to hear from Him, you know. And so however you go about reading, just read it, and it will read you as God speaks to you through His Word. Now again, it's the first part of the year, and I know in our family, maybe in yours, you know, in the new part of the year, and so we want to start over and want to read through the Bible in a year. And let me give you some helps. In fact, I have some stuff here, just some different ideas or different ways to tackle reading if you want to read through the Bible in a year. This one here. And I made 10 copies of each of these. If y'all want them, if more of y'all want more, we can make some more copies. But this is from Johnny and Friends. And have any of y'all done a chronological reading of the Bible? You know, sometimes there's a chronological Bible. Well, this is a chronological reading through the Bible. And this one's kind of interesting because you'll be reading along. And so in the middle of Genesis, and all of a sudden you're going to go to Job, you know, and then you're going to finish Genesis, and then it goes through. And some of the interesting things, because once you get into the history books, you'll begin reading some Psalms. And because they will sprinkle in the reading of the Psalms with the historical events that happened and the Psalms that were written during those events. So it's kind of an interesting way to read the Bible. My wife got this, and I think this is what she's going to do this year. There's a little bit of a drawback in it, because in reading chronologically, you don't start reading the New Testament until October, you know. And so you're going to read all the Old Testament first before you get to the New Testament. But hey, you know, that is how the Bible's laid out for us. If you're going to read it like a book, you know, read it front to back. But I haven't ever done this one, but this might be an enlightening way to read through the Bible. I also have y'all ever done one like that, or done this one from, this is from Johnny and Friends, Johnny Erickson Todd. Do y'all know who she is? Yeah, Johnny, okay. I also have up here, this is my own little compilation. That really, it kind of comes from J. Vernon McGee on the Through the Bible radio program. He kind of goes from Old Testament to New Testament. It kind of goes back and forth and back and forth. But I have one of these, some of these up here, and it's just kind of something that for many years I just used for my own self, and we tried to use for our own family. And I also put a few little notes here on some of the passages of the Bible. But there's many different ways to go about trying to read through the Bible in a year. But let me just say this. The Bible doesn't tell us that we need to read the Bible through every year.
Amen.
I mean, you know, but it doesn't. I mean, there's not a verse in the Bible that says you need to read the entire Bible through every year. It just says that we're to read it. In fact, you know, in Joshua 1:8, it says that we are to meditate on it day and night. I mean, it doesn't tell us how much to read it, but it says that we're to be thinking about it, we're to be reading it, and we are to meditate on it day and night. Which I would imagine, if you meditated on it day and night, you're going to be, you know, you will be reading it through. There's another one in Psalm 1 and verse number 2. Psalm 1, I'll just read 1 and 2. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night." So the goal for the Christian, and in our Christian growth, is day and night, all throughout the day, you know, morning, noon, and night, we are to be thinking about, we're to be reading or meditating on or thinking about God's Word. I mean, families are instructed for their children. We're to talk about the law of God when we, with our children, when we, you know, get up and when we go along the road and when we lie down. It's to be infused in every part of our life as a Christian. It's not just something that's relegated to Sunday or Wednesday or just a small part of the day. It's all of our day. It's all of our life. And so, you know, a lot of us, we want to, you know, read through it once a year, but we don't necessarily have to read through it the entire Bible, you know, every year. In fact, John MacArthur, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, he has a system for reading through the Bible that where you read a book or a section of a book and you read the same thing every day for a month. And so his system is so that he kind of focused on the New Testament so that it takes you 2.5 years to get through the whole New Testament, but you will read each book in the New Testament 30 times in those 2.5 years. And so, for example, you were going through the book of Ephesians. You would read the book of Ephesians every day. That would be your Bible reading. You would read it every day for a month. And you know what? After you would read one book of the Bible, whether it's Ephesians or Colossians or the first few chapters of Matthew, and if you read it for 30 times every day for 30 days, then you're probably going to get to know that part, that section of the Word of God. And if you read the Bible that way, you wouldn't read through the Bible, through the entire Bible, you know, in a year, but you would really get to know a certain section of the Bible. And so that's kind of a good way to, you know, if you really want to study the Bible or a part of the Bible, is to get a section and read it every day. And that way, you know, if you just read through all of it in a year, then it's going to be a year before you come back to that particular part. But if you're concentrating on it, then it really has a way of getting in your mind when you read it. Because this is a big book and it's really hard to master all of it. But if you can get part of it into you, you know, and really get it into you, then that can become, I think, very, very helpful. The way that I was taught when I was younger, and that I tried for a while, and they had all these, you know, different ways of how to read through the Bible, and maybe y'all did this, is to where every day you would read a psalm, every day that you would read a proverb, every day you would read a little bit of the Old Testament and a little bit of the New Testament. Did any of y'all have to have that? You know, it's a bits and pieces process. You read a little bit here, a little bit there, and you're just kind of, you know, Psalm, Proverb, Old Testament, New Testament. And every day you're just kind of slowly picking your way through just a little bit of a time. And, you know, I mean, it's good. Anywhere you're reading in the Bible, it's good. And so, like I said, there are many, many different ways to go about it. We've got some of these year-long things here.
I like that one scripture in the Bible. It's studied to show that it's not true, though, you know. Sometimes people say, I've heard people say, I've read, I didn't know, understand nothing, I just read, you know, it's that but studying it is a whole different.
Yeah, I think, you know, we are to study it. We're to mine the gold and to mine the treasures. And God does want His blessings sought for, you know. And there's a lot of stuff on the surface, but the more you dig down into it, there is so much, you know, a treasure below, you know, below the surface. And so it's good to study. And so, you know, in my own life, I've done many different ways to go about, you know, reading, and they all have, you know, their pros. I don't know if there's any cons, but there'll be certain aspects of it that are more beneficial if you go a certain route. I know before we started the book of Ephesians, I encourage you to do what MacArthur said, you know, read it every day, you know, and, you know, to kind of get it into our brain. There's one more handout here if you're interested in it. This is one that I did. This is how the Bible is arranged, and a brief summary of its books. And so the Bible is put together in sections. Reading it chronologically. The Old Testament is laid out chronologically, but it's chronologically in sections, and there are five different sections in the Old Testament. But this briefly explains how the Bible is arranged, how it's set out, and also just kind of a brief sentence summary of each book of the Bible. So you can kind of see, you know, what is this book about? Because the Bible, I mean, it is 66 books, but it's a compilation that's a whole, and it all goes together. And so it helps to have an understanding, not just of a certain section of it, but how it all fits together, because it is one big story, though it is made up of a whole bunch of different stories, but it all weaves it together into an amazing, amazing tapestry. And let me just give you a personal testimony here from my own spiritual pilgrimage and spiritual growth. Most of y'all know I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor in the church every time the door was open. But I am a natural skeptic. I just am, and I am a nonconformist at heart. And if everybody is going in one direction, I just have a natural tendency to question that direction and to really want to go against the grain. That's just kind of the way that I am. And so, you know, like a lot of young people, that grew up in the church, I began questioning my faith. A lot of aspects of the faith that I just grew up, you know, believing. This is what you believe. You're a Southern Baptist, and this, you know, you tote this line. Well, I began to question my faith in a lot of areas. And not only, you know, what is it that I believe, but whether I believed, you know. And so it kind of set me on a journey to kind of examine, you know, what is this faith that I'm a part of, this Christianity. And so I really started to read more than just, you know, the little bit of reading that I had done as a young person. And when I started to read and to study a little bit more and really say, okay, I'm going to try and just really read the Bible, I'll have to say that it was really hard for me to start reading and studying, because I found it hard to read. I am a product of Oklahoma City Public Schools, and I went through high school, and it was never required of me to read one book. And so then when you go and say, hey, I'm going to try to examine some of this stuff, and I'm going to start reading, and you pick up a big book and start to read it, it's a struggle. And it was a challenge. It was like, wow, this is a little bit harder than I thought. You know, I'm not a natural scholar. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. And it took a lot of effort to even read through the book, you know, just to read. I mean, I was just like, I'm not very good at this at all. But as I started and kept, you know, reading and trying to do it over and over again, I began to find out that the Bible was expanding my mind, that it was so beneficial just to the way that I thought, and to my ability to think. And my mind needed that, you know, as a guy in his young 20s, and, you know, and just your mind's all over the place. And so it kind of started to infuse in me over process in time, you know, a good discipline of my mind. But in the process, you know, anything that you're new at, you're not good at. And I wasn't very good, you know, beginning to read and try to put some of this together, and it really took time. And so if you are new to reading your Bible, or reading it on a consistent basis, or trying to read it through in a year, or whatever, you know, if it's, you know, not a part of your life, you're going to be frustrated if you try to implement it into your life. It's not going to be automatic. It's going to be challenging, and it's going to be hard. So at least that's the way it was for me. But in my own personal life, a paradigm shift came. When instead of, and because I was using the kind of bits and pieces process method, I was reading a little bit here, you know, a little psalm, a little proverb, Old Testament, New Testament, you know, it was just bits and pieces all over the Bible, you know, kind of following that stuff. But a real paradigm shift came when I began to read whole books of the Bible in one sitting. And I probably don't know if I'll ever forget the night. It's very clear to me now. The first night, I remember I couldn't sleep, and I read the book of Job in one sitting. And that's a pretty substantial book. And as I read that book in one sitting, and this account of Job and his three friends, and then the fourth friend, and then the conversation between God and Job, and I was just like blown away when I saw how all this story unfolded at one time. And I began to see how all of the chapters connected. And in fact, it just flowed so naturally, you know, if I went past chapter one and instead of waiting the next day to get to chapter two, and you just move on in, and it was just like, whoa! And it was just like, here's the whole story. And I get it in one bit. And this is a good time to remind you that, you know, our chapter numbers and our verse numbers that are in the Bible, they're not inspired. They are not part of the original text. It's just something that we have added, that men have added to the Bible to make it more convenient to find your way through the Bible. So that when you say, hey, turn to Jeremiah 15 and verse 6, you know, you can find it a lot easier than to say, you know, it's like Jesus. He unrolled the scroll of Isaiah until he found a certain part. It's harder to maneuver through if you don't have chapters and verses. And so it is very convenient for us to find our way through the Bible, but chapters and verses are not part of the inspired text. And when you read it as it was written, I mean, as a whole unit, at least for me, it was just like, wow, I began to see how all of this interconnects. I remember because I would always stop, you know, at the end of the whatever it said to end at that chapter. And then sometime by the next day, you forget what it was said before. And then you don't realize the start of the next chapter, how it just flows. But this is a product of one mind. And there is continuity within each book. And when you can get all the book together at once and see it, and then there's continuity between the books and between the testaments, and it's just like, wow, this is an amazing story. Now, I don't know if you like to watch movies. Generally, a movie might last, what, an hour and a half? Now, do any of you ever watch a movie 5 minutes at a time? Let's say you're going to go to a movie and I'm going to watch the first 5 minutes today. And then I come back tomorrow and I'm going to watch the next 5 minutes. And then I come back tomorrow, the next day, and I'm going to watch the next 5 minutes. And then the next 5 minutes. If you watched an hour and a half movie 5 minutes at a time, You might get the movie, right? I mean, but it might be a little difficult when there's a 24-hour interval between this 5 minutes and that 5 minutes, and you would lose the context. By the time you got to 2 weeks down the road and you're watching that 5 minutes, well, what happened to that, if you see it all at once, If you watch the movie from beginning to end, in the whole hour and a half movie, then you get the context, you get the story, you see how it all interacts, and all the little scenes make more sense when you put it all together in one sitting. At least that's what I found. And so once I started doing that at times, it was just like, wow! It really came alive to me to get big chunks at it, to see how it all fit, than to just get these little 5-minute snippets here and there. And I didn't get the connection quite as much. I mean, it's beneficial to get the 5 minutes here and there, but when I read it all at once, you know, just like read the whole book of Ephesians, or as I did Job, or what it's just like, wow. At least for me, it came alive. Just this last week, I listened to the book of 1 Corinthians. I listen on my phone, but I thought, okay, it has the text, and I'm gonna read it while I'm hearing a guy, while he's reading it to me. And so I was following along, and he can read a lot faster than me. And I think it took maybe 45 minutes. I forgot what it took. But I was like, wow. And I got some stuff out of 1 Corinthians. I've been reading it for 30 years. And to get it, I was just like, wow, that's cool. I never saw that before. And so just for me, it's really helped to kind of get it in the way that it's given, in the big chunk. And it helped me see the continuity not only within the book but also within the Bible as a whole. And like I said, that's just something that was helpful for me, and so I just kind of throw that out there. But the main thing is that when we read it, we want to, the conversation, we read it, we hear God, we talk back to Him in prayer, we meditate on it, we want to think about it all day long. Because the goal in reading our Bible is to have God's Word influence our thinking, influence our mind, influence our behaving, because our beliefs will determine our behavior. And the more we get the Word of God into us, and as we meditate and marinate on what God says about all these variety of subjects and these stories and how they, you know, apply to our life, then we begin to think God's thoughts after Him, as someone has said. And again, we're to have the mind of Christ, because I don't know about you, but my mind needs some work. You know, I mean, it just does. It needs cleaned up and it needs freshened up, and the Bible helps with our mind and with our thinking. And this is by hearing what God says, we learn God's will by reading His Word. This is His will. All right, what is God's will in my life? Well, it's right here. You know, and there's so many narratives and stories, and I'm like, oh, wow, that was, you know, happened there. And I say, that's kind of similar, and I apply that to maybe the situation, you know, in my life, or there's a law. I remember several years ago, I had a certain thought and a mentality on when it was just to shoot someone, if they're a robber or whatever, you know. It's just, I was that away until I thought and meditated on something in Exodus chapter 22, and, you know, God had to change my mind about something. And I had to adjust my way of thinking to God's just way of thinking on when it's all right to take somebody's life. But the Bible is always chipping away and conforming and changing our thinking and bringing it in line to God's will. And as we think in our hearts, so are we. And so we need to be thinking biblical thoughts if we're going to live a biblical life. And that's why we need to really have God's Word in us. But we got a little bit of time left. So let me just to encourage you to redeem your time. God's given us 24 hours a day. Let me read Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 verses 15 and 16 says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Or redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So we think about the time God has given us each day. I looked it up today, and you know, Google says that it takes 65 to 75 hours to read through the Bible. I was kind of shocked. Yeah, I was just like, oh, well, I wonder. So I did it just a little bit ago. It says that it's 65 to 75 hours to read through the Bible. Now, that was a little quicker than I thought. I had heard that it takes about 80 hours to read through the Bible. I'd heard that. I don't know if you ever, you know, churches, sometimes they'll have a Bible reading marathon and they'll try to read through the whole Bible, and different people will take 15 minutes at a time. And I've heard it takes about 80 hours of time to read through the Bible. Now, I'm a slow reader. I'm a little bit better than I used to be, but I'm a slow reader. So I'm going to say it's going to take me a little bit longer than the 65 or 70 hours, or even maybe longer than the 80 hours. But do you know that if you read the Bible for 15 minutes a day, that would be almost 92 hours in a year? And so you could probably read through the entire Bible if you just read your Bible 15 minutes a day. Now, 15 minutes is really not a long time given the 24 hours that we have, and I waste a lot more than 15 minutes a day, probably every day. But the Bible says that be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, making the most use of your time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Could you redeem 15 minutes a day? 15 minutes a day. You know, and I mean, you know, maybe you can't read through the Bible in 92 hours. Maybe it takes you more, you know, let's say it takes you 180 hours. Well, 30 minutes a day, you know. But it's really not that long of a time. That if we devoted just a little bit of our time each day, say, okay, I'm going to eat a 15-minute meal. I'm going to listen to what God says to me for 15 minutes a day. Then I could hear everything that He wants me to know in a year. I could, you know, I could hear if I redeemed 15 minutes a day. Now, if you want a little more than 15 minutes a day, let me give you a challenge. And I've had this challenge given to you before. Tithe your time. We're big on the tithe. We like the tithe. We're to give 10% of our finances, you know, and that's good. But what if we're to tithe more than our money? What if we tithed our time? I mean, God has not just given us our finances. He's given us 24 hours a day. What if I was to allocate to Him a tithe, not just of the 24 hours, but a tithe of the waking hours of the day? I mean, if there are 16 waking hours of the day, you know, that's about an hour and a half a day would be a tithe. What if, just thinking way outside the box here, what if we actually meditated on and nourished ourselves with God's Word for an hour and a half a day? I mean, that would, let's see, I eat 3 meals a day, and it's probably 30 minutes a meal. So if I just made my spiritual meal the same as I do my physical meals, and put the same amount of time and effort and into feeding my soul as I do to feeding my body, if I just did that 30 minutes three times a day, do you think that would make a difference in how I thought?
Yes.
Do you think if I actually redeemed a tithe of my time a day, do you think it would change the way I think? Do you think it would change the way I walk? Do you think it would change my beliefs or my behaviors? I think, yeah. If I actually did a tithe, who knows? Maybe God would open up the windows of heaven and give us such a blessing that we would not be able to take it in. And, you know, since we are such a screen age, compare your screen time to your scripture time. You know, I don't know about your phone. My phone tells me how long I'm on it each day. Compare your screen time to your scripture time. That can be a convicting thing, you know. A couple of more things here. The more you read it, it can be frustrating at first, especially if you're new at this. But the more you read it, the more you will be familiar with it. I had an experience this I think it was this last week, but I've had it several times. Have you ever gone into a new grocery store and tried to shop? Or maybe you go to the grocery store you always go to, but you're searching for a new item. I went to the grocery store just to find, I think, 3 items the other day, but they were new items for me. And instead of just running in, and I know where the milk is, and I know where the, you know, that stuff, but I didn't know where these items were. I mean, I kind of knew the vicinity. But it took me 3 times through each one of the aisles trying to find the item that I was looking for because I was not familiar with where the things were located within the store. And it was very frustrating. Just like going into the new store, it is frustrating to find, where do they put this stuff and where do they put that stuff? And do you know, if you're not familiar with the Bible, then when you start reading through it and trying to find things in it, it is going to be frustrating. Where did he put that? And where is this? And where is that? But the more you shop here, the more you familiarize yourself with the layout of the Bible and the text of the Bible, then it won't be quite so frustrating. Oh, that's where he put that. And you can go, you know, go there as you, because the more you read it, the more you are familiar with how it is laid out. And you will become more accustomed to where God puts certain things in His Word. And eventually, the more you read it, I think you're going to find that your appetite for the Word of God will increase. Because just like as in physical life, as you begin to grow, you kind of want to eat more. I mean, the adolescents, they want to eat a lot because they're growing a lot. And the more you grow, the more you want to eat. And the more you eat, the more it'll help you grow. And the same is true in our spiritual life. The more we eat, it's going to help us grow. And the more we grow in our faith, our appetite will increase for good and better foods and more mature foods. And it will help us grow up in our faith. So let me just, you know, encourage you to read. But let me end where I began. Read it from left to right. Okay. And I'll say it means this. Read it as God's Word. When we read this book, we are not reading man's book. We're reading God's book. Now, this book is not just the product of a man's mind. And many people on the left look at this book and read this book as though it is just the product of man's mind. The left wing or the liberal will see this book. It is just a religious book of man's ideas. They read it just from the left. And the scripture, I'm going to take a tongue-in-cheek application of this. In Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 2, it says, "The way of the wise is to the right, but the way of the fool is to the left." And when we read this book, read it from left to right. If you're more left leaning in thinking about this book, that it is just the product of man's mind, move to the right.
Amen.
And think that this book is the product of God Himself. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, that we receive it not as the word of man, but as it actually is the word of God. And so read this book left to right. When you come into it, don't think that this is just what a man is saying. This is what God is saying to us. And Jesus says, if anyone wants to know the will of God, if you approach this book and you say, okay, Jesus is God and he's speaking to me, he says, if you want to know the will of God, then you will know that what I teach to you is God's word. You'll know it. In fact, let me just read John 8:47. Oh, just go a couple minutes. John 8:47, Jesus says, "He who is of God hears the words of God, and for this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God." You know, a lot of people don't hear God's word when they read God's word, because they read it from the left. And they don't think God is speaking to them through it. But these are God's word. Read it left to right. Move to the right, because the Bible is no ordinary book. It's not just man's book, it's God's book. And read it as though you are hearing from your Creator and hearing from God Himself. It is a living book. And you will find out that it will read you. Because this book will read you. Anyway, those are just some thoughts on to encourage you in your own personal Bible study. And again, there's some handouts over here if you're interested in them. And we can make more copies if I just made 10 of each. But there's a couple of Bible reading programs, as well as just a thing on how the Bible is arranged and a summary of each of its books. So, any comments before we close? I know I kind of took it all.
Yes. Your year doesn't have to start January 1. It can start any day.
Yeah. New year. Yeah. I'm coming up on First Chronicles is where I'm at. So, you know. Boy, that's an exciting part of the book. I mean, it's the first few chapters, it's a fun book. But, you know, it's an important part of the book. I remember one time we had some guests staying at our home and in our family reading. We were in First Chronicles, the first few chapters. And so sitting there with guests, and we're reading name after name after name. And it's just like, ooh, you know, this is something. But, you know, it occurred to me, you know, these are real people and real events. And, you know, God has spoken and worked through real people. It corresponds to history and our, you know, and so it is an important part. Even the genealogies are an important part that God wants us to know and has revealed to us. So read it, live it, love it. And thanks for that encouragement. You don't have to start January 1, just wherever you're at. But. Okay, anything else before we close in prayer? Our Father, we do thank you for your word. Give us a desire to read it, to meditate on it day and night, that we might know your will, that we might conform our thinking to the very mind of Christ, and to give us the diligence not to neglect your word. And I pray it in your Son's name. Amen.